community, and that starts to split the community. Or the community itself will reach its temporary or immediate goal, whatever that goal for that community is, and then it'll start to break apart. However, that motto is perfect for a united church. Think about it. MCC, we are all for one, so we're all for God and Christ, and we're one for all. We're a united church for all. What's more powerful to get behind than God's love, grace, and mercy? Nothing. There's nothing more powerful than that. And nothing can ever take us away from that once we've accepted that and we're behind him and we're united behind him. Look at Romans 8, 38 and 39. And please remember, the words will be up on the screen if you're not following your Bibles. And as you're reading along, you see red letters. I want to hear from you. You repeat them too. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or down here on earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, there's nothing that can separate us. What is more powerful than that to get behind? There is nothing more powerful. If we are united by Christ, there is nothing other than ourselves and the choices we make that can separate us from him. Satan can't do it. The world can't do it. Your troubles can't do it. Your worries can't do it. Nothing but the choices we make can separate us from God. And there is nothing more powerful or wonderful than to be united behind him. Amen. When we started this series, we looked at the united church. And as we looked at that, we looked at each one of us must choose to be one with Christ. And we also looked that we must be one with each other. And then by doing both of those things, together we will show the love of Christ to the world. That is what a united church looks like. And then last week, out on the front line, who all enjoyed being out on the front lawn last week? Yeah, it was a great day. We looked at how a united church can bring a country to be united, how it can unite a country. And we looked at praying for all. It's all about prayer, praying for all. But more specifically, we were to pray for our authorities and leaders. Well, today we're going to look at the united community. The united community. And just like last week, we said there's only one way to unite this country, and that is through. And then, who is the one who can unite us all? God. Only God can unite this country. This same holds true for our community. There is only one who can truly unite our community, and that is Christ. And when we're talking about community, community is defined as just a unified body of individuals. Unified body of individuals. I know no one who is more inviting and more uniting than Christ. Ephesians 2:14 tells us, "For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us." You see, here it's talking about Christ uniting two groups of people who in no way saw eye to eye. They did not see eye to eye. Because of what he did on the cross, they are united when they accept him as their Savior. He can unite them. It's because of his sacrifice. And that also applies today. That sacrifice allows all of us in this community right here, not just the church, but Muhammad, we can live in a sense of community, unified with all people. It doesn't matter what our ethnicities are. It doesn't matter our backgrounds, our family traditions, our career, our economic or social status. As long as we're united in Christ, who is the ultimate builder of community. I want to go to the scriptures and look at an example of a united community, a community that was united by Christ. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 42. And in Acts chapter 2, of course, this is real soon, right after Jesus has left this earth behind. And now his church is beginning to be led by these 12 disciples, 12 apostles of Christ. And in verse 42, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. The Greek word used for devoted there is proskartero, or something close to that anyway, which means to adhere to and to be constant to one. You see, Christianity just wasn't something these new believers just added to their busy lives. Let's just add one more thing, and when we get to it, we get to it. No. These believers were loyal. They were loving. They made God, they made Christ their priority. They were steadfast in their faith, and they were continually, always pursuing God. What does a healthy and strong community look like? It's built right into that verse 42. A strong community looks like, and it looks healthy, when it is built and devoted to, number one, to teaching of the Word. To the teaching of the Word. The apostles were teaching about Christ, about his resurrection from the dead. I mean, basically, they were teaching the gospel as we know it today. And most of what they were teaching was some references to the Old Testament, but most of what they were teaching was the New Testament. These early believers did, now this is the cool thing, these early believers had the benefit of hearing the word from the 12 guys who were taught, who traveled, who broke bread with the Son of God. I mean, that's pretty cool. If you know, any of the apostles walked in here today, I'd gladly give them the pulpit. I'd love to hear from someone who spent time directly with Christ here on earth. But folks, we have God's word. It can be in our hands. It should be in our hands. Should be in our homes and not up on a shelf getting dusty. It should be out and being used. It's on our phones. It's on our phones. We have instant access to it, or on our tablets. We can listen to sermons and podcasts anytime we want to. I mean, it's at our fingertips. Now, I do have to make a PSA here, my public service announcement. If you're listening to podcasts and sermons, those are great things. Make sure, though, you check out who's doing the speaking. Make sure they're biblically sound and they're teaching you true biblical principles, not false teaching. Don't get sucked in by that. So make sure, I don't care what, they're out there, you can find it. But you can find all the information you want out about a speaker also, thanks to Google and other means. So make sure you check that out before you're listening to sermons and podcasts. But the point really is, at this time, we have so much access to God's word. So in some ways, we're even more better off than those early believers who had to wait for one of the apostles to speak directly to them. We can pick it up at any time. Wake up in the morning and go right to God's word. What a time to be a part of this. But see, the key, and it was the key back then and it's still the key today, the key is that we make the time to be devoted to the study of his word. We make the time to be devoted to hearing, studying, and learning what his word says. And a strong and healthy community is also devoted to fellowship. To fellowship. And we got a taste of what life was like without true fellowship for a little bit during the pandemic, didn't we? Fellowship is key to a strong and healthy community. The Greek word for fellowship here is koinonia. Koinonia. I know you've heard it before. Pastor talks about it all the time. The simple definition of koinonia is Christian fellowship. But we need to dig a little deeper here and understand what they were really talking about in Acts and what the early church looked like with this koinonia. You see, this fellowship, it's number one, it's intentional. It's just intentional. It's not casual or accidental. They make sure that it's a part of their daily lives. And this koinonia has two parts. The first part is they were in fellowship with God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. First off, they were in fellowship with God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. In God, they shared His love, His grace, His forgiveness as a community. In Christ, they shared His example, His teachings, His death and resurrection. And in the Holy Spirit, they shared Him as their guide, as their helper. Wow. That's an important part of koinonia, that they were as a community fellowshipping with God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the second part of this koinonia deals with the early believers enjoying each other's company, sharing life together, sharing their faith, and having a bond that was united in Christ. They weren't just sharing meals or an occasional potluck. They weren't just getting together on Sunday here and there. They were together continually pursuing godliness and bringing, by the way they lived, glory to God. They were communing daily with the Holy Spirit and focused on the things of God. And the goal to this type of fellowship is to do ministry, to do faith together. You're not on your own for your faith, not in this type of community, not in this type of koinonia. You are together living out faith, doing your faith together. You push one another. We should encourage each other, help each other. We need to do life together. And together we need to spur everyone towards God's deeds, to good deeds that God has planned for us. It was the fall of the year, it was in the fall season, that Linda, a young woman, was traveling alone along a rutted and rugged highway from Alberta to the Yukon. Linda didn't know you don't travel to Whitehorse alone in a rundown Honda Civic, so she set off where only four-wheel drives normally venture. The first evening, she found a room in the mountains near a summit and asked for a 5 a.m. wake-up call so she could get an early start. She couldn't understand why the clerk looked surprised at her request. But as she awoke to early morning fog shrouding the mountaintops, she quickly understood. But not wanting to look foolish, she got up and went to breakfast. There were two truckers there, and they invited Linda to join them. And since the place was so small, she obliged. And they said, "Where are you heading?" She answered, "Whitehorse." And one of them looked out and said, "And that little Civic? No way. This pass is dangerous in weather like this." "Well, I'm determined to try," was Linda's gutsy, if not very informed, response. "Then I guess we're just going to have to hug you," one of the truckers suggested. Linda drew back from the table and said, "There's no way I'm going to let you touch me." And the truckers chuckled together and said, "Not like that. We'll put one truck in front of you, one in front of your car, and we'll put one behind your car. And that way, you'll get through the mountains." So all that foggy morning, Linda followed the two red dots in front of her and had the reassurance of a great big escort behind her as they made their way safely through the mountains. Caught in the fog in our dangerous passage through life that we live in every day. New fogs happen every day for everybody's lives. Pandemic was just one fog. There are many, many more ahead of you, whether it be loss, job issues, school restarting back up, whatever it is, there's fog that's going to be created in our lives, and passages get dangerous through these fogs. And we all need to be hugged with fellow Christians who know the way and can lead safely ahead of us. You got one set ahead of you leading the way, and you have others behind you gently encouraging us along the way so that we can all pass safely through this life. We need koinonia. Amen. You know, I love our fellowship and our fellowship events around here. At MCC, they are great. Always great food. Always great food. Man. Great conversation. There's always great joy and humor being shared. But compare our koinonia to that of the early community that we see here in Acts. And you will see we can continue to do better. And we're called to do better. Folks, the day we don't strive to improve our fellowship, actually, if you don't hear Pastor David, myself, or the elders pushing and challenging us all to do better at Koinonia, you need to call us out in brotherly love. Because guess what? Christ expects us to be in fellowship in this manner. Now, to have a strong and healthy community, we have to be teaching His Word. We have to be in fellowship. But we also have to be devoted to the breaking of bread. The breaking of bread. These early believers got together to share meals, but they also got together to share and participate as a community in the Lord's Supper. Sharing meals and the Lord's Supper together, that just grows us closer together. And it takes the focus off ourselves and puts it on Christ. This is why our church family here at MCC, every single worship service, we partake of communion as a united family of God. We get together to remember what Christ did for all of us, and then partake that together as a united church. Finally, a healthy and strong community is devoted to prayer. We heard it last week, right? It's still here. That's how important prayer is. I don't want to beat it to death again this week, but I want to remind us all that prayer, which is an act of worship, by the way, draws us into a closer relationship with God. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 say, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about," yeah, "everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." I said it last week. I'll say it again this week. We have to be a united church that is united in prayer. Being united in prayer is just more powerful. How many of you are part of our prayer warriors? Get the list every week of all the prayer requests. And that's just a small sampling who's here right now. We got so many more. Isn't it powerful to know that there are so many people, not just in Muhammad, but across this nation, who are praying for the same things you are praying for? How many of you have been to the prayer journey before? Yeah. You know why that's so powerful, even though it's individualized? Because you know there were others either in the room at the time with you or before or after you that prayed the exact same type of prayers you were praying. Woo, rock about got me. They were praying the same type of prayers you were praying for the same things. Maybe a little different because you're different points of your lives, but you were on the same topics. That's powerful. That's why we have to be united in prayer if we want to be a united church and unite this community. We have to be united in prayer. So what were the results that came of these believers who were forming this incredibly united community? Well, let's just go back to Acts 2, and we're going to start with verse 43. In verse 43, it starts out, "A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared their money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord those who were being saved." That's results. They weren't doing anything crazy, folks. They were teaching and learning His Word. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to breaking of the bread and the Lord's Supper, you know, making sure the Lord's Supper was part of that. And they prayed. And then God did this. Miracles. through the apostles. Miracles happened. Woo! Individuals' needs were met. People got taken care of. If there was a need, it got met. And folks, I've seen miracles happen around this church. I've seen it. We've seen people going into the doctors for one thing, and then a couple weeks later, God, through the doctors, through medicine, but God worked and did incredible things. I've seen miracles happen in people's hearts, people that I didn't think would change, or I wasn't sure how it would happen. And God, through all of you, did something inside of them. That's a miracle. That's a wonder. And because we're a community, we get to see that happen. I've seen individual needs being met in this church. Not just people in this church, but we've helped people outside this church because of either your generosity, your skills, your abilities, your willingness to help. Just this week, because you have continued to give so generously during this pandemic, we were able to help someone who doesn't regularly or hasn't regularly attended this church, but we helped them get their car so they could be back on their feet, get to the doctors, get to the job. We did that. You did that because you gave to the church. That's why we have to do that part. That's why they shared everything. And also there was corporate worship and praise. Corporate worship and praise. Now, I love to jam out in my car. I do. But I love when we get together and sing. I love when we just get together and we share in each other's joy and see each other's faces. That's even more incredible. More incredible. And then people were added to the community. Is there anything more excited than when we have a baptism or someone new joins our community? And what's so great about this United Church and our little community right here is once you're a part of it, you're always a part of it. We've got community members in Georgia and Ohio, and they've moved away, but they're still our community. We check on them. They check on us. They pray for us. We pray for them. That's what it's all about. So my question is, who wants to be part of that type of community? Who wants to be part of that? Make no mistake, you already are. MCC is a united community. Can we strive to be better? Sure. And we're going to strive to be better. But any church and a community with a passion for God and a contagious joy that anybody can see, they're eventually going to want to be a part of that. They're going to be a part of that. Unlike this church in another community, this church in a small village, and there was a village atheist who was there, and he wasn't a bad man. He was still a nice guy. He just didn't believe. He wasn't interested in church. And not to mention such a small village, there was only one church in the area anyway. And this church was mostly a social club, let's just be honest. It was pretty much heartless and spiritually dead. There were no conversions or decisions for Christ that had been made in quite a while through this church. Well, one day the church building literally caught on fire. And everyone, the whole town, ran toward to help extinguish the flames, including this village atheist. Someone noticed the village atheist and hollered out, "Hey, this is something. This is the first time I've ever seen you running to church." The atheist replied, "This is the first time I've ever seen the church on fire." MCC needs to continue to be a church on fire for God. With a passion that burns so bright, a passion for God that unites us all and allows our light to shine out to the bigger community around us. Now, I can speak for the heart of leadership at this church and tell you, we are striving to be the united church and united community God wants us to be. We pray about it, we meet about it, we make decisions about it. Sometimes we get it right. Sometimes we get it wrong. Because guess what? I'm going to let you in a little secret. No church is perfect. We're human. We try to follow God. We do our best. But sometimes our humanity gets in the way. Our humanness gets in the way. And we make decisions that may not have been best. But our leaders here also come with an apologetic heart and are willing to admit when mistakes are made. And what does a family do? We help each other through it, and we keep moving forward. And that's what we do here at MCC. And we're striving to be better at it every day. We are praying for direction as God guides us to be a church of joy. And look at what joy means. J, Jesus first. Got to start with joy with Jesus. The Y at the end, that's you. That's yourself. And in between Jesus and yourself are the others. Others are in between the two. Put Jesus first, put ourselves last, and we work on everything in the middle, right? That's joy. That's living for joy, and that's the type of church we want to be. You know, we want to be that church that the song Lean On Me is our theme song, right? Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm going to need somebody to lean on. You see, Ron Ross, living in joy. Jesus is first. You put yourself last. Guess what? While you're putting yourself last, right, the Groff's up here praying for you, so you're now their others, right? And while the Groff's are putting themselves last, the Tilfords are up here, and they're praying for others, which includes the Groff's. All of us are the others. All of our neighbors, all of our co-workers, all of the students at school, our other students at school, they are our others. That's how a joyful community works. That's how a united community works. Our MCC vision statement is attending to the needs of one another, doing good to everyone, and proving by the way we live that God is in control. That's God's calling for MCC. That's our vision. That's a united church. That's a united community. Our takeaway for this week is this. If we want a united community, then we have to be a community united by Christ. If we want to be a united community, then we have to be a community united by Christ. Folks, we can't unite our church. We can't unite our country. We can't unite Muhammad, Champagne, Fisher, St. Joe, Sedoris, name the smallest town in Illinois. You can't unite any of them alone as individuals. We have to do it together with our collective eyes on Christ and our hearts open to others. Remember, a united community that is all for one and one for all only makes it, only lasts, only stands the test of time if it's united by Christ. I want to close with this. On Gilligan's Island, there were just a few episodes. I hear some of you laughing already. There are only a few episodes that you would consider emotionally touching, right? But I remember one particular one where Gilligan had gotten his feelings hurt, and he decided to move away to the other side of the island to live alone in a cave. Anybody else remember that episode? Live alone in a cave. Immediately, this became a miserable existence for Gilligan. He was a pretty sociable guy, but here he was just all alone. But it was also miserable for everyone else on the island. One of their own was no longer among them. He was no longer in fellowship with them. And there was just a terrible void. They missed him at the dinner table. They missed his jokes, his laughter, his gentleness. They even missed his clumsy screw-ups. I think at one point in the episode, they were sitting around the dinner table taking turns talking about the specific things they missed about Gilligan. So what did they do? I'm pretty sure it began with the skipper. He decided to leave the rest and go live with Gilligan in a cave, just so Gilligan wouldn't be alone, and so he wouldn't miss his little buddy. Then another one of the group did the same, then another, until finally all seven people were together again on the other side of the island in Gilligan's cave. You see, in true spiritual community, we either make it together or we don't make it And at least not in a very healthy way. I want you to do this fun exercise. I'm going to give you some homework. Yep. I want you to use your concordance in the Bible or go Google and find out all the scriptures from Acts to Revelation in which the word together appears and see what early Christians did together. I'm going to give you a sampling right here, but I still want you to go do it. They were meeting together, praying together, sharing material things with one another, eating together, consulting with and advising one another, planning and strategizing together, working together, standing together when under attack. This world attacks us every day. Satan uses this world in so many ways to attack us as individuals and as a church. And we've got to do it together. We've got to get through it together. We've got to stand up together. Jesus Christ never intended for any of his followers to follow him in isolation from other believers. Wherever it's possible, Christ intends for all of us to be in this together. Oh, not just for 1 hour on Sunday mornings, not just during official church meetings or small group meetings, but through the day-to-day, hour-to-hour course of life. I want us to be that community, because this little community and being united behind Christ, with Christ as our light, as what we follow, that is the only way we're going to unite our community around us. It starts with us. Let us pray.